Okay, so we were in the middle of the Ein Mechabdim, so you get the question of sweeping. Great. So to summarize what we had so far. So our Mishnah says that Rabbi Gamliel used to allow sweeping, the Chachamim did not allow sweeping. The Gemara in Shabbos Tzadihei outlines three positions, seemingly. The position of Rabbi Elazar that sweeping, because it will be Mashva Gumot, because it will smooth out the holes, is Makav Vadish, and it's also Midi Araisa. The position of the Chachamim that it's also Midi Rabbanan. And then the final stage, the Stama de Gemara, that says that nowadays, since we're basking like Rav Shimon, it is Mutter, is Mutter Lechatchila. Now, Tosfos notes the simplest understanding of the Sugya and Shabbos is that there's two machlokot going on simultaneously. One is the mitzvah machlokas, the reality machlokas. Is it or is it not inevitable that you will be mashra gumot when you sweep? If you think it's inevitable, so both Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda would say that it's asur midaraisa, and that's the first position of the Gemara. Chachamim would say it's not inevitable, but they paskin like Rav Yehuda, the davar shena miskaven is asur midirabbanan, and therefore they forbid it midirabbanan not daraisa. And then the third, the Stama de Gemara, assumes both like Rav Shimon that davar shena miskaven is mutter, and two, that bimetzius, right, smoothing out the holes is not inevitable, it's only a davar shena miskaven, and therefore it's mutter. That's the way Tosfos read the Gemara. And then the problem we had was that our Gemara puts into the mouth of the Chachamim that it is Aser, even though the conclusion of the Gemara in Shabbos seems to be that it's mutter. Add to that the Gemara in Shabbos Kochav Dalet that forbids using these brooms, but seemingly not because of Mashva Gumot, but because of some sort of either mukta issue or a concern that the broom itself will break. So the question that the Rishonim had was, one, how to deal with simply dealing with the textual issues, and the second is how to deal with the conceptual issues. So to summarize the positions, if you look back at 5, we had the Beis Yosef where I put all the positions. So the first position was the position of the Rif. The Rif simply argues that our Gemara is reflective of the earlier stage in the Gemara in Shabbos, namely, Rabbi Gamliel is articulating the position of the Stama de Gemara in Shabbos. The Chachamim are articulating the position of the Chachamim according to Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos, and therefore, lahalacha, we reject the Gemara in Beitza, or we accept the position of Rabbi Gamliel in the Gemara in Beitza in favor of the Gemara in Shabbos, and he doesn't introduce any new conceptual issues to the Gemara at all. However, Tosfos, in order to solve the problems, says that the answer isn't to reject one Gemara in favor of the other, but it's introduced new factors. So Tosfos says that we paskin that from the vantage point of Mashva Gumot, we paskin it's mutter lechatchila, but there's an added problem of mukta that you're going to move the dirt. And that's what's going on in the Gemara in Beitza. The Chachamim are forbidding it because of mukta of moving the dirt, not because of Mashva Gumot. And then parenthetically, he notes that perhaps, as the Ramah said, if a non-Jew would sweep, that would be fine, or at least you wouldn't protest. The Agur argued that it is usher to sweep, but it was mutter to sort of mop the floor or whatever exactly you're doing with a cloth, seemingly arguing the problem of sweeping is not the mashva gumot, nor is it the moving the dirt, but it's the breaking of the broom, and therefore, right, the Chachamim are ushering because of the broom. But if you would sweep the floor, but not with a broom, you'd sweep the floor with a cloth, so then it would be mutter. Now, of course, in our, you know, with our brooms, that would probably be the same thing. It doesn't break quite the same way. Maybe the older, you know, whatever those were, straw-y brooms. But the plastic brooms, much less.
Wouldn't that really even have to break? I mean, if it was just the hair scheme.
Right, I mean, the hairs come off, right. I mean, that's what I mean. The bottom of it break off. I mean, it wouldn't be daraisa for sure, not, but it might be midirabbanan. Rashi, like the Rif, had solved the issue simply textually. Had said that had just distinguished between cases when it's smooth and not smooth. Now, we noted that all these shitot, all of them assume that whether it's a problem of muksa, oh, most of these, not the Agra, but the Ran, the Rif, Tosos, Rashi, all of them who assume that the problem is either the muksa of moving the dirt or the Isidar Reis of Mashmei Gumot or Isidar Abanan of maybe being Mashmei Gumot, all of those assume it's only a problem on a dirt floor. However, on a non-dirt floor, on a tiled floor, it would be mutter. However, the Re forbade sweeping even on a tiled floor because he introduced yet another factor, or another two factors. One was a d'oraisa, was that he was worried about dirt between the tiles. Now, again, that would not apply on our modern floors, right? That would be, you know, a semi-tiled floor, whatever exactly they had. But his second issue might in fact apply, and that was his position, that we actually have a gzeira of eno merutzav, of merutzav atu eno merutzav, that you aren't even allowed to sweep a tiled floor because you might come to sweep an untiled floor. That was very through position vav. And in Zion, the Ravid introduced yet another factor and said maybe the problem isn't the mashmei gumot, it isn't the muksa of the dirt, it isn't the problem of breaking the broom, it isn't a gzeira. The problem is the muksa of that which you are sweeping up. And therefore, the Ravid distinguishes between what is on your floor. If you swept up before Shabbos and all there is now are crumbs, so crumbs are halachically insignificant, and therefore they're not muksa, and therefore you're allowed to sweep. But if you didn't sweep before Yom Tov, and Yom Tov have crumbs, but you have bigger things, right? You have, bones, right, or, as an example, or nuts, peels and shells, bigger things. So then he forbids it because of muksa, or that which is on the floor. So the halacha, right, the rift that is completely mutter, because we paskin it's mutter, there's no muksa issue, there's no anything issue, Tosfos forbids it because of mukta. The Re forbids it because of even on tiled floors, a gzera, because of non-tiled floors. The Ravid only forbids it if you have a dirty floor with actual pieces and not just crumbs. And the Agur permits sort of wiping down the floor with a cloth, but not sweeping it with a broom, which might break. So that was the positions that we saw last week. Now we just want to go and take it halacha l'maisa, and then see that there are a few other factors that you have to take into account when you're dealing with our floors. If you go to number 6 in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Lamed Zayin, in Aruch Chaim, this is what Shulchan Aruch says. He says, Davar Shein Miskavein Mutter, right? In general, we permit unintentional, non-inevitable melacha, right? Davar Shein Miskavein. Again, Tikresha is inevitable malacha, unintended but inevitable, which is asur midaraisa. Davar sheinu miskavein is unintentional and non-inevitable, which we paskin like Rav Shimon that it's mutter, Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara says it's asur midarabana. So therefore, Shulchan Aruch says if it's unintentional and not inevitable, it's permitted lechatchila. V'ushelo yehei psikresha, as long as it's not inevitable. Hilkach, gorer adam mitok, you save yourself sal, and therefore you're allowed to drag a bed or a bench. Bein gedol and bein tzalim, whether they're large or small. Bilvaj, liskavin lasos chretz, as long as your intent is not to make a ditch. Umutzer, l'rabe tabayit, kevin shem iskavin lasos gumos, el shalo yalavak, and you're allowed to be merabet. So we mentioned last week, right, there's two things going on. One is sweeping, the other is merabet, which is sprinkling water to prevent the dirt from flying around. He says, therefore you're allowed to do rebuts. However, Aser lechaber habayit el amkein hakarka merutzaf lehalacha he paskins that you're not allowed to sweep the house unless the floor had already been swept. Now that's the position of the Ravid, right? The final position that he quotes, namely that we're not worried about mashmei gumot, we're worried about the mukta of the things on the floor, and therefore you can sweep a floor that only has, you know, crumbs on it, but not ones that basically has, sorry. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you can't sweep any floor unless it's tiled, right? Sorry, that's not...
Ritzpah.
Right, yes, unless it has ritzpah. And that is the position of Tosvos, right? The position of Tosvos that we passed in lahalacha, that it is aser to
Is that Tosfot? I thought Tosfot has a muksa concept.
Yes, well, it's several positions, really. There's a position of Tosfos, right? Because Tosfos has a muksa concept, but of the dirt, and therefore of a tiled floor, there's no problem, right? It's alternatively the position of Rashi, right? It would also be the problem of Rashi, who paskins that we do forbid non-tiled floors, and as we'll see, is the position of the Rambam as well,
yeah.
Which is presumably why Shulchan Aruch holds that way. V'yesh matir nafil einam marutza. But he notes that that's not clear because the Rif paskins that it's mutter. So the Shulchan Aruch brings two data. One is that it's usher if it's untiled, like Tosfos, like the Rambam, like Rashi. The other position that he brings is the Rif that it's totally mutter. And then the Ramah introduces the position of the Ri, right? Namely, the Yesh Machmir Nafil Bimarutzav, that you can't even sweep a tiled floor, right? So you get all three positions. It's totally mutter, it's totally usser, or it's usser only if it's tiled, right? So basically, almost every position that's reflected in the Beis Yosef
is
reflected.
Even if it's only untiled?
Even if it's untiled. Even if it's tiled.
Even if
it's tiled, rather.
Right.
Or even if it's tiled, right? So you have, right? It's only usser, it's usser always, it's always mutter, right? Or it's mutter if it's tiled and usser if it's untiled, right? So you get all three positions are reflected between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah.
So as long as I pull like the other rabbi, I can do whatever I like?
Yeah, exactly. but then the real problem for Ashkenazim is the next line of the Ramah. Is the Ramah says v'chein noagin ein l'shanos, and the minog is like the Ri, that we don't sweep anything, and that's the minog, right? So this is a problem because Shulchan Aruch, if you have untiled floors, so then you have to deal with the question, how do you paskin? But Shulchan Aruch paskins in both positions that if you have a tiled floor, then it's permitted to sweep. The Ramah says the minog is like the Ri, that we have a gezera eino marutzav atu eino marutzav, that you aren't allowed to sweep at all, but then he introduces the augur, that miyu al yidei akum mutter, right? The augurs are miyu rucham v'chein al yidei beged, matlis o knaf avaza kalim ve'eno mash v'gumot. But then he introduces the other position, the augur, that it's mutter, he introduces the Ramah's position that it's mutter if a non-Jew does it, and then he introduces, for some reason, the augur, that it's only a problem to sweep, but not a problem to wipe down the floors, which doesn't really make sense, because unless you say that that's not going to be mashveh gumot, which is what he says, right, that a cloth isn't mashveh gumot, I'm not really sure why that's true, it doesn't seem to be, right, the augur isn't clear about why it's usher, as the Beis Yosef notes, but the Ramah understands the augur as saying that wiping down the floor with a soft broom or with a cloth won't be mashveh gumot. And then you also can't wipe down your clothes with some sort of brush that's made with something that's going to break. So between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, we introduced basically all seven positions that were quoted in the Beis Yosef, right? Either it's always usher, it's always mutter, it's mutter only on tiled floors, it's usher even on tiled floors, it's usher only if you have a soft, hard broom that might break, and not if you have a soft broom, right? Basically, everything is introduced. The Ramah says the minhag is not to sweep with anything, anywhere, is not to sweep with a broom anywhere. The minhag is only to wipe down the floor with a cloth that won't actually be mashveh gumot. That's how the Ramah, right, summarizes. But basically, every position that we saw in the Beis Yosef gets introduced.
But these didn't send the Ramah. They didn't have a tile floor in all of Poland.
So that is where the Mishnah Berurah comes in, right? So the Mishnah Berurah,
going back to this, dirt floor. When you said tiles, that includes wooden floors?
Yeah, same thing. Wooden, any floored floor.
Anything that's not natural ground.
You know? Yeah, I'm just using tile, but yeah, tile, wood, whatever. Floor. If you have a floor and not a, I don't know how to say the difference between a dirt floor and a, if you have a floor, if you have a, whatever you have.
A solid floor.
A solid floor, sure. Not a dirt floor.
Covered floor.
Okay. Is Agur saying that he does not care about the moving of dirt? He only cares about marking up the ground? And that's why he's
seemingly,
saying,
yeah.
Okay, and that's why he's saying that wiping with schmutz is fine because you're not going to
correct
scratch the ground.
Right.
Okay. So
or because you're not going to break, or you're also not going to break, as Ramah says the next point, you're also not going to break the broom, right?
Right, but
which one the augur is saying, right? The Beis Yosef didn't know which one the augur was saying, but the Beis Yosef, right, the augur is either focusing on the breaking, or is focusing on the Ramah understands him as being about the Mashragumot.
Right. So when you're having all these halachas thrown into one thing, they're not all talking about the same thing. Like, they all have different reasons why it's us, and therefore different reasons why you can do it.
Correct. Right. I mean, Shulchan Aruch thinks the only issue here, right, could possibly be about something that has to do with a dirt floor, and therefore Shulchan Aruch has two possibilities: either we totally permit it, or we offer it, either because of malach or because of mukta on a dirt floor. Right. The Ramah introduces the notion of gzeira, right, which offers everything. But for some reason, even according to Gzeira, he says that's only with sweeping, but not with wiping down, because I guess wiping down never is Mashav Agumot, or wiping down never, you know. But he clearly doesn't care about the moving dirt, right?
Right? There's no Inyan of Muksa according to most of these dayot.
Maybe according to Shulchan Aruch, you don't know, right? According to Shulchan Aruch, you don't know which one he's incorporating, right? Whether it's the Muksa. Presumably, he's incorporating the Rambam, who thinks it's an issue of Mashav Agumot, right? But, you know, but Tosfot would generate the same position, based on concerns of mukta. So basically, every concern that was raised in Beis Yosef, now in Echonami, it's not all seven concerns, or not whatever it was, however many concerns it was in the end, it's that different positions in Shulchan Aruch, they all reflect the multiple different positions quoted in the Beis Yosef. Now, the problem that the postman really had was, okay, wait a second, why do we, if the Ramah says the minog is not to sweep, right, even on a floor, right, on a solid floor, so why are we all sweeping on Shabbos, right? Kedavar Pashut, like no one that I know of says that you shouldn't sweep. So here, we'll go through in a moment just a summary from Mishnah Berurah, but skip to this key point, if you skip to the Ber Halacha, in number 9, the second one, the Yesh Machmir and Afil B'Merusav, because this is really the heart of the matter. Everything else just to fill out the picture, but let's just look at the heart of the matter first. It says, Ayin Mishnah Berurah, Datam Hum Mishum De Gazrina Merutzav, Atum Eina Merutzav, Hum Yisei Fratruma Vehetik Betaz, Vine Lefize. So he says, according to this, why would you say that the minog was to not sweep anything? Because you might come to sweep a dirt floor. But the Mishnah Berurah takes the position that this isn't a formal rule. Right? It's not a formal rule that Chazal ossered sweeping always because of Gzeira. Because if that was true, it wouldn't matter if no one in the world had a ground floor. What he assumes is that it's a realistic concern that people might come, right? If you have one room in your house that's a solid floor, but the rest of your house is a dirt floor, you might end up sweeping. But therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you live in a world where nobody has, or nobody you know of, has dirt floors, so then even the Ramah, even the Ri is going to be Modeh. And that's what he says. He needs, Lefizeh, im kol batei ahir, or kol panim rubam. If every house, or at least most of them, merusafim ba'avanim, or b'vanim, have brick floors, or stone floors, the kol shekenim im chusar b'krashim, and for sure if they have boards, right, wooden boards, right, because, you know, stone floors, they don't mean, you know, fake stone. They mean, like, you put rocks on your floors, there might still be dirt somewhere. Efshar demutel chave de logos are all rubav imnei miuta v'lol irzub imnei aracheres, because you're not going to make a gzeira, you're not going to decree for a minority, right, for a majority, rather, because of a minority, and you're not going to make a gzeira just because our place in the world.
How can make gzeira?
Well, yeah, of course. Well, that's what I'm saying. The Mishnah Berurah must assume this is not a formal gzeira.
Right.
Right, the real thing is to, you know, if it was a formal gzeira, it doesn't matter how unlikely, right?
Right.
As we've
right.
noted just a few weeks ago with Shrika Samamanin, right? Every other Dirabanan, you know, it doesn't matter how, you know, if it doesn't apply anymore, we still say it applies.
It's not always true.
It's not always true. It's there's no rule.
It's also said in Brita that it's Mishum Kushasha.
Right. Of course. And the answer is, right, as Rav Asher Weiss, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Rav Asher Weiss says the following. What is the rule? When does Tosfos say that the gzeira is only exists where there's an actual chash? And when do we say that the gzeira applies even when the chash doesn't? So first he quotes all the acharim. The acharim have all types of answers, right? If it's formulated as part of the gzeira, whatever. He goes through all the answers. Then he says, but it's not true, because look at this one, look at this one, look at this one. And Shulchan Aruch is inconsistent. And then he says, therefore, I have no idea. Where they said it, they said it. Where they didn't say it. There's no rhyme or reason. I give up. I have no idea. The answer is, I'm only describing what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. how does the Mishnah Berurah know this? I have no idea, right? There's literally no predictive rule, right? None of the achronic rules work. There's no predictive rule whatsoever. There's Rav Moshe Feinstein alludes to this, or a reader loves this, I think I've mentioned before, that the answer is, in fact, there is no rule. What Tosfos is really getting at is that if it turns out that nobody keeps the Gzeira, then retroactively, or not retroactively, or currently, it becomes a Gzeira She'ein Rova Tzibur Yichol Lamod Ba, right? And therefore, the Gzeira falls into disuse, and then post facto, you justify it by calling it a Gzeira that was totally in the Tom. But really, what it's doing is it's the Min HaGa'olam pulls the carpet out from under the Gzeira by making an Gzeira She'ein Rova Tzibur Yichol Lamod Ba. And therefore, all you can ever do is describe that certain gzeros have fallen into disuse and therefore are not binding. But you can't ever predict it. Of course, sometimes the same post will say it's a minog, therefore it must be mutter, and other times they'll say it's a minog toast. There's not even a predictive rule for when a particular posek is going to impose a minog or not. Right? It's very, most poskim are not that predictable, especially when it comes to gzeros. But you're right. I understand that Tosfos says it sometimes, and other times he doesn't say it. I have no idea. I have no good rule. And yet, in this particular case, Mishnah Berurah asserts this is true, and like I mentioned, if you look at the modern halacha books, they don't even bring this up. Like, this is a very complicated sugya. You look in the 39 Malachos book, so he has less than 2 pages devoted to it, and he says, as Mishnah Berurah says, it doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. Meh, that's it, right? He has a lot of chumras.
He's pretty adamant, though. He says, English notes.
Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. And he says that, well, everyone sweeps. Oh, must be we've also been Mishnah Berurah. Nobody in their right mind is machmir like this. I think it's true, right? Like I said, if you want to accept this chumrah, you want not sweep, you want an excuse why your house looks messy, when you have guests over, you know, you can, I mean, don't quote me, but you can quote the Ramah, right, with impunity, right? What? Yeah, exactly. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says about Kiddush, not about sweeping. No such Mishnah Berurah. Look, there's no predictive rule. I don't know what to tell you, right? I don't know what to tell you. This is Rav Asher White says in Shchika Samamonin, right? There is no predictive rule. It just is what it is. And that's true. I don't know.
Therefore, you could be more meikel about things that Zera is running?
You can't be more meikel. You can't be meikel. You can't be machmer. You just have to throw your hands up and do whatever everyone else does.
The dealing with the reality in his time was that was diminished.
And that's what he says. Rav Asher White's like, I don't know. And if Rav Asher White doesn't know Ayivaz, I don't know. I have no idea. I think he's right, that there is no way of knowing.
Generally, if the minhag is a certain way, then the people must know, there must be a valid reason for it.
But we only say that sometimes. But that's the thing, we only say that sometimes.
Unless it's a minhag toast.
Exactly my point. Right, sometimes we say it, sometimes we don't. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't know.
Leave us open in terms of a more liberal interpretation, like certain people want to do in certain areas?
On the contrary, it's usually the opposite.
It could be more liberal, it could be more machmir. It's totally unpredictable. It's totally unpredictable. You have no idea what's going to happen. It goes l'kola and l'chomra, right? It can go in either direction. It's not like, you know, like saying things are formal, you know, as opposed to substantive is sometimes a kula, sometimes a chomra, like Marasayan, right? Anyone who says that it's formal says, I don't care if there's a real Marasayan, you can't create new Marasayans. And other people will say, what are you talking about? It's substantive. Or, of course you can create new Marasayans. I don't know.
Well, we're going to kid me up. We'll start.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's the exact one. It was a minute. It started as a minute. Not the kidney. It was just simple. A minute.
Before you leave.
That was a minute deep.
Before you leave, like, clear. As you leave to talk about.
Kidney out? Okay. Great.
Well, it's not a question of talking. We have to arrange a campaign where everyone eats kidney out, and therefore the minute change, and that's it.
I would not be surprised if that happens. It's already happening in Israel.
Right.
I'm saying, and I would not be surprised if within, I can't put a number on it, within a certain number of years, that will happen. But who knows? I will not be the one kicking and screaming if it does happen. I will not be the one putting my neck on the line to endorse it either. I'll leave that for people bigger than me, and then I'll just follow.
Whenever you have that type of reaction, there's always
There's always a backlash. There's always a backlash.
And make it even more machmir.
Well, right. But you're less likely to have a backlash if it happens naturally than if it happens as an agenda.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people have said the reason they think in Israel it'll slowly happen is because Rabbanim are giving kulot in limited circumstances. Like, when you're in the army and it's a torech, you know, but then, like, but things like that lead to, okay, well, for 3 years of my life, I was eating it. And then when I come home, and I'm, you know, and then there's a lot of people, you know, Ashkenazim marrying Sephardim, and then people will say, well, you eat it when you're at your in-laws. And once you start slowly chipping away, so naturally, you know, it weakens, right? That's really what Poskim are saying, is it'll more...
But it's more than that. Canola oil is permissible.
Oh, no. Israel, there are also more makel on yod, semen, akit, and yod, and things like that. Yes. Yeah, that too.
I remember Rabbi Taub used to say, you shouldn't go to a house of a Sephardi during Pesach.
Okay.
And he also said you could drink the Diet Coke, which the OR says you can.
Yeah, whatever. Like I said. But yes. Anyway. That's a parenthetical discussion. Fine. Okay. I'm not weighing in. I'm just describing. And here, too. Mr. Brewer, how did he know this? I don't know how he knows it, but he says it. Right? He says,
there's a Malvin that says that. I'm going to share this on Shabbat. So that's,
okay.
There's a Malvin who says that you can let the Gzeira go. It's going to go. If it's dependent on things rather than on people. Is that Malvin? In other words, with a nachash, let's say, you know, the snake would put it, you know, you're worried that the snake, you can't leave over, fluid overnight uncovered because the snake would put it. It's a fact now that there are no snakes.
Uh-huh. Right? As opposed to like Shema Yitaka and Kli, which is about you.
Yeah, so even the Shema Yitaka, even though people don't know nowadays maybe how to do it Kli Shir, but they could learn. Human beings, or I think it means tendencies on the part of human beings.
Interesting.
You make a gzera that might. So Malbim, it's in what's it called? The book he wrote on sitzes. RCLA.
Something. So maybe you'd use that to explain this, right?
This.
Right, because it's about the floors. It's not about what you would do. It's what type of floor you have. Maybe. So that would be an interesting. You'll have to send me the link, you know, later, and then. But that would make sense, right? If it's about things that the mitzios has changed rather than people have changed. Then you're more likely to change it. It makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. In this case, it would work. Okay, so then the Mishnah Berurah continues. It's not totally clear. Said, who says it's about Ashra Gumos? Maybe it's about Mukta. Maybe the reason you're Machmir because of the Raivid. Not because of the Re, right? If the Minag was because of the Re, that's one thing. But it's because of the Raivid. The Raivid says it's because you might have pieces on the ground, right? You might have bones that fall on the ground. You might have, nut shells. That is equally usher whether your floor is, right, hard or soft. It's, right, the problem of Mukta. So it's not totally clear, because I could give a Svara, if it's the Re, that it changed now that we have real floors. But if it's the Raivid, so then it doesn't change, because we still have food on the floor. And therefore it should be forbidden. But he says, Ulam, but he said, the reason I'll be making it is because the Ramah himself said that you're allowed to use a soft room. He said, it's possible, but the Ramah himself clearly thought it was about Mashva Gumot, because that's why he permitted it with the cloth and with the soft broom. And therefore, if the Ramah says it's a problem of Mashva Gumot, and we all have real floors, so therefore he's going to be Mekel. And for sure, if the floor is basically clean, you're just talking about crumbs, the Ravid already said it's Mutter, the Chanal Gam La'Isr Mukta. In Lochosh Echad Mishum Madakot Rajba, the Mutzal of Nosim Mishum David Kidraf Shalrei, and he said, besides, why should we pass him like the Ravid? The Rajba said that if you have big pieces of meat, bones on the floor, it's mutter to move it because it's disgusting. And as we discussed it a few weeks ago, Graf Shalrei is mutter. So the Rajba says the Ravid is just wrong, because if it's little crumbs, so then it's not mukta at all, as the Ravid himself said. If it's big, disgusting things, so it might be mukta, but we override mukta because of Graf Shalrei. So Mamana Shach, it's mutter. So therefore he says, La Halacha, he's going to be Megil. He says, besides, even if it was mukta, the whole issue is weird. Behold, have a tiltul me'atzad, al yidei davar achil, al tzarach Shabbos. It's tiltul me'atzad, You're not touching it, right? Minatzad, with a broom, letzorach Shabbos. There's so many reasons that you can be mitzarif, to be mekel. And Yisra Mukta, he thinks that and the Ramah doesn't seem to think it's about mukta at all. He thinks it's about mashva gumos, and therefore lalach is mekel. Look, Moshe calls it achronim, uva'anfe ha'ilon shebuzmanenu, eina etzer baruch kol kach. But he said, but if you actually have a wood broom, then he wouldn't be sure, mechshom shash vira saksamim, because then you have the next problem in the Ramah, that you might break the broom. But he said many achronim don't like the Ramah's concern at all. Because, and if you do break the broom, big deal. You didn't mean to do it. You don't want it to happen. It's kilkul. So many achronim don't like that at all. So lehalacha, well, the Mishnah Berurah notes that there's many reasons you could question it. Namely, there's mukta. In the end of the day, he says if you swept before, for sure it's fine. And even if you swept, you didn't sweep, and they're big pieces. The Rashba rejects the mukta svara. The Achronim rejects the concern about breaking it, and therefore he says, there's ein limchot with someone who sweeps with any type of broom, period. End of story, and that's the position of the Mishnah Berurah. And, you know, like I said, the Minhag Olam, the postgame, really just take this position of the Mishnah Berurah and say that the Minhag is not like the Ramah. The Minhag is, in fact, to sweep with any type of broom on Shabbos, period. End of story. The only thing you have to be concerned about, right, is if you have, I don't know, you have, if you do have a, you probably don't have a dirt floor in your house, but I don't know if you have a cottage, right? And outside, like you have, you eat in the something like that, or whatever, in your backyard, or you know, and you don't have grass there, or something like that, right? So you want to sweep it, so then you would really have a problem, right? Then, but you know, short of that, right? The minhag is to be makel against the Ramah. Okay, so now if you just look back at 7, I just gave you, you know, sort of key Mishnah Berurahs just to you know, flesh out some of these points. So he says, why is it Aser l'chavet abayit? So he weighs in, the mezes offer mimkom v'gam mashva gumo b'chibudo shemzval nagumo shavayis me offer v'evei binyan. Right, he notes the two problems that are brought up, and he thinks that both of these are accepted l'halacha, or the mukta issue on the dirt, and the issue of the smoothing out of the floor, because it's binyan. So he said maybe it's aser because of psik resha, right? That's the position of the Gemara, and right, he's commenting on the position of Shulchan Aruch, that's aser. And then he introduces something we haven't seen yet, that maybe the concern in all of these was not as we thought, that it was psik resha. Maybe the concern is that you'll be caught up with things, and then suddenly you'll see a hole, and you'll be like, oh no, I have guests coming over, and there's a hole in the ground, and you'll end up smoothing it out to Havana, right? So far, we've seen most people saying that the argument is this or is it not inevitable? The assumption is you're not doing the Havana. Mr. Berurah says maybe part of the concern is that maybe you really did do it the Havana, right? Maybe, or you will come to do it the Havana, and that's part of the Gzeira. Okay. Then in Zion, he just notes that when we say floor, we mean a stone floor, a wood floor, any type of floor, just not a, right, just a floor. Fine, I'm going to skip through some of these. In Yud, he just notes that the reason we would allow a goy to do is because even if it's a psik resha, we allow psik resha through Amir Lanachri. Okay. He says, in Yud Aleph, he says, why are soft brooms mutter? So one reason is because it doesn't break the broom, but he also notes that it doesn't really, it only moves surface dirt, right? And that's not mukta, right? Mukta of the dirt seems to only be when there's caked up dirt, but soft brooms were just doing surface dirt, which is basically when we sweep, right? You don't usually have caked up dirt unless you haven't swept in like months, right? You have a surface dirt and crumbs, and that type of thing is never mukta, and that's why that's mutter. Fine. In Yud Beis, he notes that we paskin against the Ravid, as you already said in the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha, that we paskin against the Ravid. That if you have big pieces of food that fell on the floor, we paskin like the Rashba against the Ravid. That if it's really that disgusting, it's a graf shel rei, and if it's a graf shel rei, so then there's no mukta problem against the Ravid. Fine. I don't really know what this is, but he has a discussion of a certain type of soft broom, which he thinks is mutter. I don't know exactly what that is. Okay, and then he notes that if you think, in Yudala, that if you think the problem is, and this will be already said in the Ber Halacha, that the problem is breaking the broom, then that wouldn't help you, even if you had a tiled floor. But as he said, that's not totally clear. Right? It should be mutter because it's makalkel, but he says maybe it's also lechatchila. Okay, fine. In 8, I just gave you, if you go back to Shulchan Aruch, says Gimel, he said not just, we've seen just not the sweeping thing, there was also the watering the floor thing. So Siv Gimel said, Ein sochan akarim l'manichu no afilu maru. So if you can't really soak the floor, right, like, you know, put that you can never do. Even if it's, you know, tiled, you can't really mop. And Mishnah Berurah says in 8, why? Shayupokin a silon shamayim nechazin derech ba labayit zemer. Chazupokim nekev. Shibitzad acher shielcho osam amayim menakim esakarka b'mnei azuma v'tam kolayim mishachashin lashvan gumos. V'afiluman desharek kibu b'shabes shashayin yachak kemen shirotz aliyapa zekarpa losuzachos al adicha chashinan shamayira gumos v'yishvach v'yavad lashvosim v'miskabin. So he said, mopping is more machmir because when people were mopping, especially their dirt floors, they weren't just getting the dirt off. They were really trying to make it look good, and therefore you really might fill in the holes. Anafilu whom erutzav the gazin atush enam erutzav. Okay. Fine. If you look at the Ber Halacha, he fleshes out a lot of the things we've already said. Let me skip through it. Right, and just at the end, look at the end of 9. Just this last Ber Halacha is something we haven't seen. Shlo yishtabru kismeim ayin b'sever berke Yosef b'shem Mari kasatro b'sever beis meir shemefaku kamin vazeh v'gam b'sever maimer Mordechai mitzadid lapsik reishahu. Many of the Achronim think it's totally mutter to use a broom because there's no reason to be concerned because who cares if it breaks? That's not what you intend. But he defends it. He says, he introduces yet another factor to this because Mishnah Berurah, you know, had to make it even more complicated, that maybe it's not Shabbos-dik. And that's why you should use a soft broom. And Mishnah Berurah has so far introduced a few added Yisurim to this. But again, the halacha, basically...
Mark is for late with the Shabbos broom.
Really? Oh, we should, you're right, we definitely should. It's a chumra in the Mishnah Berurah in Chalami. Right. Yeah, it's a good idea. I'll go into business. I'll put in some of the capital. I have faith in our community's ability to accept chumras upon themselves. I have deep faith.
None of them accept the Gemara in number 4.
Or they ukimtify it out of existence. Yeah, you know, as we've seen, all the ukimtas, it's only this type of broom, it's that type of broom, it's this type of dirt, it's that type of floor, it's this, you know. But yes, right. Basically, everybody. Okay. So that's the halachic issue. That again, even though there are, in the end of the day, there's like these, you know, whatever. I've lost track of how many factors there are. Right, mashve gumos and exera mishum mashve gumot and being mashve gumot bechavana psik reisha davar shenu miskavein. It's not Shabbos dik. It's mukta. The dirt is mukta. What you fell on the floor is mukta. It's a graf shel rei. It's not a graf shel rei. And all those factors come together. But la halacha. Basically, the post can agree that if you have a soft broom for sure, in a world where everyone has real floors, it's mutter, and probably even mutter to use, if you want, those old style, like wooden brooms, because most of the Acharnim are make against Rama anyways. That's the halachic issue. Last issue is the Rambam's position is a bit weird. Okay, the Rambam's position is a bit weird. Look at number 10. The Rambam says as follows. Women who played with, I don't know exactly what they're playing, a certain sort of marble game, but with nuts. Yeah, it's like, in Israel, they had it for a long time. I forget what it's called. They still do it with like peach pits. Some sort of game, which I never quite caught on to, but that's because I don't catch on to any games.
When we were kids, I remember,
it was
all the
Pesach,
it was kind of a, what do you call it, like a
myth. Yeah, no, there is,
yeah,
like, there's an old thing.
She said, well, I was kidding, I remember sending me out with some of these nuts,
right?
And she said, don't play with them or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but whatever
you call it, like marbles,
it's like marbles, right?
Or you used to hit them or try to get them through, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So,
that's also passed with time.
Okay. So, okay, so anyway, so he said, why is that also? Because Shem Yavo Lahashvos Gumos. And then he says, also Chavez Akarka, and you can't sweep the floor. Shem Yashva Gumot, because you might smooth out the holes. Elo Imkain, Hayaratuf ba'avanim, unless it is it has a floor. Umutr lezalif mayim agabe akarka. You're allowed to drip water on the floor. Ve'eno choshe shema yashve gumo, chare eno miskafin lekach. And we're not worried that you're going to smooth out the floors because you don't have kavana for it. And in sachen the karka v'ilaratu ba'avanim, in nofchen oso, v'manichen oso, afil b'yomdov, kol shekem v'shabish, lo yase k'derech shu oso b'chol, v'yavol l'hashvot gumot b'zman shu oso k'en v'akom she'enem v'rutza. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav notes that there's something very weird about this Rambam. So it says, I am a kezim mishma perchof alef b'shim rivash. Shetama al ha-Rambam. Shekosav gavei kibur ha-bayis, shema yashve gumot, imkein eno psik reisha ayin sham. He said, I don't understand. The Rambam says it's usher to sweep the floor because it might cause you to, right, to smooth out the ground. But the problem is, right, the Rambam therefore thinks it's only a Shema, right? Right, because he says explicitly in the next line that you're allowed to drip water on the floor, and we're not worried Shema Yashve Gumo because you don't have Kavana for it. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch said, I don't understand what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam paskens like Rav Shimon that anything which is eno miskaven is mutter. And the Rambam says you can't sweep the floor because it might smooth out the floor. But we just said that if something is not inevitable, it's mutter because the Rambam paskens like Rav Shimon. Right? So he should have said...
Isn't that the purpose we're talking about that they're playing with these agosim or shkating?
Well, that's exactly his problem. Is in all of these, he said Shema Yashva Gumo, but the Rambam just said that it, right, that if it's Shema, it should be Mutter because it's Eino Miskafein, right? Because he passed him like Reb Shimon. So, now.
I thought what he meant by this, maybe I got it all wrong, is that he's afraid that they would smooth out the floor so they could play their game properly.
Right. So one possibility is to say that what the Rambam held is what the Mishnah Brura introduced. Then maybe when we say we're worried they're going to be Mashva Gumo, it's not that you might do it by accident. You might do it on purpose, right? That we forbid you from sweeping because you might do it on purpose, not because it might happen. If it might happen, it's a davar shein miskaven, right? But the Rambam might be the source of Mishnah Brura, right? Sam said that the concern isn't that you might come to accidentally sweep it in eino miskaven,
right.
Is that we forbid you from sweeping a gzera that you might do it bichavana, right? So that could be a solution for the Rambam. And that, I think, is the simplest solution for the Rambam, right? It's a bit weird until you have the Mishnah Brura and you realize maybe that's what all the Rambam meant, right? Was that the whole Gzeira isn't as we thought originally. It's what the Mishnah Brura said, right? It's not that it's a machlokas, is it inevitable or not, and then whether we usher things which aren't inevitable. It's usher because we don't want you to do it b'chavana, and then it would be not p'sikresh, not anything, it would be chavana, it would be usher. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav comes up with something 1,000 times more complicated and much fancier. So I'm gonna say it outside. I'll say it outside. But I gave it to you here. Here's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's analysis, okay? So there is a complicated subset of psikresha called suffix psikresha, right? Now suffix psikresha sounds like a contradiction in terms. Right? Because isn't the whole chop of psikresha is that it's inevitable. So what is a suffix psikresha? The suffix psikresha is as follows, where it's not a question of whether something's inevitable. It's a question of what the current reality is, such that if you do something and the reality is one way, the malacha is inevitable. What does that mean? The taz is the following case. If you have a box, and there might or might not be flies in it, but if there are flies in it and you open the box, you will be freeing the flies, thereby violating it, because you'll be undoing tzad, right? Is it mutter to open the box? It's a suffix psikresha, right? If there are flies, then the malacha is inevitable, but you don't know whether or not it's inevitable, right? Right, that's different than davar shem miskaven. Right, davar shem miskaven is the act you're doing will not inevitably cause malacha. Suffix psikresha is if the reality is a certain way, it will be inevitable. Right, I press a switch. I don't know whether the switch is attached to a light. Right, but if it is attached to the light and I press the switch, the light will go on. Right, that's suffix psikresha. right? Is that mutter or usser, right? Is that equivalent to Pesik Reisha, or is it not equivalent to Pesik Reisha? So that seemingly is a machlokas, the Taz and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right? The Taz. Well, so let's get to the heart of this, right? So the Taz says Suffolk Pesik Reisha is mutter. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says Suffolk Pesik Reisha is usser. Now, where's Rabbi Akiva Eiger says this? This gets more complicated. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is commenting on a Ramah. The Ramah says that it's usser to stoke the flames on a goy's stove, or they don't have, you know, because meat and milk might have fallen into it, and if there's meat and milk there, you'll end up causing basar chalav to be cooked. Now, you don't know that basar chalav is there, but if it is there, you'll be cooking it. Right? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, you see that Suffolk Pesik Reisha is usser. Now, it could be there's a distinction between Shabbos and other Easterim, but this is Machlokas Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Taz. Now, why would you argue this way? So as the later Achronim note, there's two ways of conceptualizing Pesik Reisha, why Pesik Reisha is usser. One, well, really three, but I'll just talk about two. One is that Pesik Reisha is the equivalent of Kavana. Namely, if something's inevitable, even if it's not my intent, if I know that it will happen when I do what I'm doing, it's as if I intended to do that as well. The other possibility is to say that when something inevitably emerges from my action, halachically, it's as if I did it directly, whether or not I had intent for it. So the later Achronim say that's the Machlokes, the Taz and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If Pesik Reisha makes it as if it's miskaven, well, that's only true if I know about it. But even if it's inevitable, but I have no way of knowing, meaning it's of it, Pesik Reisha, so then since I don't know that it's going to happen, then even if it's inevitable, it doesn't matter, right? Because it's no better than Davar Shem Miskaven. That's the position of the Taz. If I think Pesik Reisha is usher because anytime I do something which inevitably causes malacha, it's as if I did it directly, then Suffolk Pesik Reisha is usher because I inevitably caused it. I understand how complicated this is, but the Shulchan Aruch Rav takes that complicated analysis and then reads it into the Rambam. And he says, what the Rambam is saying is that it's usher to sweep the floors. When he says Shema Mashra Gumos, it's not because it's a Davar Shena Miskaven, it's a Suffolk Pesik Reisha. Right? The problem is that if there are holes and you sweep the dirt, you will smooth them out. You just don't know whether there are holes. So it's not a Davar Shena Miskaven. What the Rambam is saying is that he paskins like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that something Pesik Reisha is usher, and if there are holes and there's dirt, you will inevitably smooth them out, and therefore it's usher of something Pesik Reisha and not Davar Shena Miskaven. That's the Shulchan Aruch's analysis in that one word in the Rambam. I don't know whether Shulchan Aruch is correct, but it is phenomenally clever. And it does cut to a fundamental machlokas in Pesik Reisha. But again, the simplest shot may just be what Sam said, which is the Rambam understands that what Mishnah Brura did, the reason we don't want you to sweep is because not you might accidentally cause the floor to be smoothed out, but while you're sweeping, you might see a hole and end up sweeping it b'chavana, and that's the Shema. The Shema isn't Davar Shena Miskaven, the Shema is Kavana, I might do it on purpose. But if you want fancy schmancy lumdus, right, or as I heard this because I was listening to a Shirber of Solovsky, that's why I found the Shulchan Aruch Rav while I was exercising, and you know, in Rabbi Solovsky language, if you want razzle dazzle lumdus, so then you can take the Shulchan Aruch Rav's phenomenal. Phenomenal application of the Machlokas Taz and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Take it or leave it, but it's definitely creative. But lahalacha, like I said, the Minhag Olam is like Mishnah Brura, that since all of our floors are in fact floored, we are makil lahalacha. And the lumdus is a bit complicated as we saw, but hopefully we at least got it somewhat clear. I think I have it clearer in my head than I've ever had it, but that's because now I've spent many hours poring over it. Next time we'll do is in 2 weeks, and we will do Molid, the Gemara's applications, and then the applications to electricity, and all the Somet things. I'll, you know, give a quick summary of how Tzomet builds a lot of these things, which depend on the Beis Yitzchak's understanding of this sugya. This becomes one of the most important sugyas in Shas for electricity. Before that, no one knew what to do with it. Electricity came, suddenly it becomes the, right, the center of a million halachic discussions, and that's what we'll discuss in 2 weeks. Okay. Shkoyach. Who wants